Like on that, you're going to?
Yes. Oh. Cool. So we're excited to be here tonight. God's put something on our heart that we want to share. When Pastor Mark had asked us about sharing tonight, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And the other night, as Chris and I were talking and just kind of going through some things, the Lord just kind of put something on our heart that we wanted to share tonight. And there's going to be a couple times that we're actually going to ask you to respond to us. So that we're going to just kind of throw out a couple questions and see what kind of response we get. It's okay to talk back to us when we ask you the question. So the first thing, actually what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about roles versus relationship. Roles to fill or relationships to foster. Now, how many of you guys have roles that you play in your life? Anybody have a role? Tell me one of the roles that you play. Somebody shout out a role.
Father.
Student.
Husband.
Leader.
Worship team member.
Anything else?
Nursery checking table.
Nursery checking table. That's an awesome role to have. So there are all different kinds of roles that we have in our lives. There are also different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives as well. And sometimes we get the roles and the relationships kind of mixed up, messed up, not really working right. Now, a role is, I looked up, I love to do definitions when I speak. So a role is, thank you, it's a part that we play, as in a play, a movie. How many of you guys were ever in a play or a movie? Or some kind of production or something? You have a role that you play, and when you're done that role, you kind of go on with your life. It doesn't really impact you. It's just a role that you play. Now, a relationship is different than that. A relationship is being connected. A relationship goes much deeper than role-playing. A relationship is a connection, and it's not just a position that's filled, but it's something that's fostered, and not just for a moment. So a role can be for a moment. It can last longer. But it's kind of like just something that doesn't really have a lot of commitment or doesn't go really deep as what a relationship goes. And, you know, we were thinking about it like in a marriage, we each have a role to play. I play the wife, he plays the husband, of course. And
I do pretty good.
But you know what, if we just played the role of me being a mom and a wife, and if he just played a role of being a father and a husband, then there would be some emptiness there. It wouldn't be really deep. In order for him to be a father and a husband, or me to be the wife and the mother, there needs to be a relationship. It needs to go to a commitment. It needs to go to a dedication. Because I could play a role and walk away, and it wouldn't mean anything to my family. But I can be a mom and have a relationship with my family, and it means something a whole lot more. You know what? Sad to say, that's sometimes what happens in our Christianity. We kind of get the role and the relationship mixed up. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." So we start there at this point of accepting Christ into our heart, which is the foundation. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we make a commitment to him. But sometimes, somewhere along the way, what we started out as forming a relationship with Christ becomes a role. And we fall into that trap or that temptation of my Christianity being merely a role that I play. And, you know, quickly we learn how to say the right words. We learn how to do the right things. You come in and you act the right way. And the Christianity, that relationship that you started with Christ, merely comes down to a role that we play, and not a relationship that we foster with Christ. You know, Christianity is not a prayer, but it's a lifestyle. And sometimes we concentrate so much on the prayer that, yes, I prayed the prayer. And you know, that is so important, and we would never minimize the fact that you pray and ask Christ into your heart. But being a Christian goes beyond saying a prayer. It goes beyond that moment. It goes beyond a role, but it's a relationship. And the other night, as Chris and I were watching something, that's kind of what hit us. It's so easy in the Christian world to learn the verbiage, to learn the actions, and to come in and just play a role on a Sunday and go out on a Monday through a Saturday and kind of forget that there's a relationship that's attached to that. That Christ wants a relationship from me. He doesn't want me to play a role. He doesn't want me to be a good girl on a Sunday morning. And he doesn't care about the rest of the week. He wants a relationship with me every single day, which goes so much deeper than me being a role of playing a Christian. And the video that we wanted to show.
Yeah. We're going to show it in a second. It just when we saw this video, we were really moved by it. We're not a proponent of this person or nothing like that. It's not like we follow him or nothing like that. We just happen to see it. So if you go on and you happen to see some other of his videos and say, oh, I'm not sure I agree with him on everything. But this was challenging. This was something that was very poignant. And so I pray that you're going to be blessed by it. And we're going to start to break it down a little bit and a little bit further, not just this video, but also the words of Christ. So, Matt, you're on.
So I've got this friend, I'll call him John. John's first exposure to the whole concept of hell was when he was watching a Tom and Jerry cartoon when he was younger. And what was intended to be this humorous cartoon all of a sudden turned into this hellacious nightmare when Tom did something bad to Jerry and was thrown into hell as a result. And later, John was at his church and he was talking with an older man about what he'd seen. And the older man looked at John and said, John, you don't want to go to hell, do you? John said, no. So the man looked back at him and said, okay, pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus. John kind of paused for some awkward silence, and he realized he was supposed to say exactly what the man had said. So he said, Dear Jesus. And the man continued, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and save me. And then when they were finished, the man looked at John and said, Son, now you can know that you were saved from your sins, and you don't ever have to worry about hell again. Is that true? Is this really what it means to become a disciple of Jesus? Is this really what it means to follow him? If you look back at the first disciples in the Bible, and when Jesus came up to them and said, Follow me, that was not an invitation to pray a prayer. That was a summons for these men to lose their lives. Somewhere along the way, 2,000 years later, amid varying cultural ties and popular church trends, we have virtually missed that call. With good intentions, with sincere desires to reach as many people as possible for Jesus, we've taken challenging words from Christ and turned them into trite phrases in the church. And in the process, we've drained the lifeblood out of Christianity and replaced it with a watered-down version of the gospel that is so palatable, it's not even real anymore. And the consequences are catastrophic. Scores of men, women, and children culturally identify themselves as Christians today who biblically are not followers of Christ. Is that possible? Absolutely it is. In fact, according to Jesus, it's probable. He said at the end of his most famous sermon, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles, and I will tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Those are some of the most frightening words in all of the Bible. As a pastor, I stay awake some nights haunted by the thought that many people who are sitting in church on Sunday will be shocked to stand before Jesus one day and hear him say to them, I never knew you. Away from me. We desperately need to take a look at our lives and our churches and ask the question, are we really, biblically, personally following Jesus? Eternity is dependent on how we answer that question.
It's pretty deep. The question that arises in this whole thing is, culturally, are we just accepting Christianity into our lives? Is it another religion that we just go through the works and the motions and play that role? Or is this a calling on our life? The disciples were called. They dropped what they did. They were ready to serve. They were ready to follow. A couple challenging phrases in there that Julie and I took out of that We, and he says it there, and I'm going to quote it. We take the challenging words from Christ and turn them into trite phrases in the church. We've drained the lifeblood out of Christianity and replaced it with a watered-down version of the gospel that's so palatable, it's not even real anymore. So there's a few questions there. And this is all a personal thing for all of us. It's challenging. And we have to say to ourselves, have I done that? Am I playing a role in church? Examine ourselves. Come to the point where we look inward and say, is this what I'm doing? Or am I answering a call that God's placed on my life? At no point in time is this going to be easy stuff tonight. I really don't think so. It was challenging to us. It was as we were going over it, I was super moved by it. I got to be honest with you. You look at yourself and say, is this me? Am I doing that? It's not necessarily a look at everyone else, because if you do that, you get on to all kinds of silliness. But is it me? Have I answered this call? So I want to ask you, any thoughts? Do we take the words of Christ and change them into some easy phrases so we all kind of feel comfortable? Have we, turned Christianity into something that's easy to accept, come to church, go home? Does that seem to you like something that has happened? Does it happen? Any thoughts? I would really like anyone to raise their hand. That would be awesome. Go ahead, Rosangela.
I feel sometimes when you read the Bible, I feel like, oh my God, probably this is Peter, and probably the Peter on the Bible. Like, because I think you serve God has to be easier. But as a human being, you are so imperfect. You have so much, because if you look at us, you are horrible as a human being. Mm. You are horrible as a human being. You know, you don't help in general. We're talking about this in general. You're like, if you go in the news and you see, like, I saw something that like, make me cry. Someone has a father and a stepmother keep the kids 5 years old in the closet, you know? It's like, God, you made us as a human being. Now someone is capable to make a horrible thing. Mm. And then all the time, you're driving and someone, and then you're late because you had to be in your place, and someone just stop in front of you and you get angry and then you say bad things, you know? And you're like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to say that. But this is, it's our nature. How can you make us better? I try all the time to ask myself when I get upset with something, I'm supposed to ask God, Jesus, help me to understand and be a better person. Mm. But it's hard because you're a human being. It's different because you're not a saint.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. For example, if someone in your work do something bad with you as nature, you wanna do something better also, no? Because it's our nature. Right. How can I do something better? I can be a better person.
And that's where the relationship comes in. If you were just playing a role of a Christian, it wouldn't really matter because you could play your role at any point in time, pick it up, put it down. When you guys played a role in a play, you picked it up, you put it down, you walked out the door, and that was the end of it. And that's the same thing with Christianity. You can pick up a role when you come in here, but it's a relationship that as you're going through your day-to-day thing, you're like, Lord, help me to be a better person. Yeah, I mess up. Yeah, I make mistakes. But you know what, Lord? It's more than just me saying I'm a Christian. I really want to follow you. And God knows we make mistakes. But being a Christian is more than just a phrase. And I think that's the point that we kind of wanted to bring out tonight that challenged us. Because I'm going to tell you, life gets busy. Life gets busy. And sometimes I lose out on that relationship because I'm so busy doing for Christ that my relationship actually is what hurts and it suffers. The verse that we want to look at tonight is Luke 9:23. We're just going to look at it for a few moments. Then he said to the crowd, if anyone of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So what did Christ mean by that? What did he mean by if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what he said we need to do, to follow him. And the first part of it was that he addressed the whole crowd. He didn't just address the disciples, and he just didn't address the few that were closest to him, John and Peter, but he addressed the crowd. And he said to them, hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you know, if you want to follow me, I'm going to give you a secret as to what's going to happen. It's more than just a moment thing. Let me tell you, if you want to be my follower, let me tell you what's going to happen. And you know, Jesus is saying the same thing to us today, to Chris and I, to you guys. Hey, if you want to be my follower, let me tell you how to do it. If you want to follow me, if you want to be a true disciple, a true follower of me, let me tell you what the requirements are. You know what I like about Jesus is that he didn't use seeker-sensitive language when he called people. He didn't say, come follow me, it's going to be all easy. We're going to have a good time together. That's not what he says in this verse that he said to us. He said, if you want to be my follower, you must deny yourself in one version. My version here said, turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus said, that's how you follow me. That's what it means to be a Christian.
I think even the important part of what you said is that you haven't just made a prayer request, you know, or prayed a prayer and everything ends there. It's then the follow-up. How do I grow? How do I become a disciple? How do I improve? How do I allow God to improve my life, who I am? Because really, swallowing what we've just heard, you know, we are morally decrepit. We are sinners. That's a hard thing to say. We're sinners, right? But when Christ comes into our hearts, he changes us. Wants to be my follower. So when we read that verse, follow me, a disciple, not a role player, but a follower. Now, someone is devoted to that. You understand? They're a believer, a supporter. They're engaged with that. So Jesus is calling not just for word of mouth, you know, just or with your lips, you know, and even in an emotional response for that moment. He's calling for a relationship, something that's so connected with him and personal and intimate. The true essence of discipleship or being a follower is humility before God. Can you humble yourself? Can you allow your ego to take a back seat? Can you allow your wants and your desires to be subservient to his will? Following, that means you're not leading. You ask Christ into your life, but guess what? You experience the life of Christ. You enter into his life. And guess what? That's him leading, you following. You can't serve both. You can't serve your leadership and his leadership. You can't do it. You can't split yourself. It's hard. I know we war inside of ourselves to do that, though. Jesus is not willing to share you with other things, other people, or even with yourself. Or even with myself. That's the hard thing, I think. He's jealous of even our leadership of our own lives. He wants it. So I guess in the end, really, if we're going to follow him, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. That's hard. How can you jump into this thinking all or nothing from the beginning? That's why, you know, the sinner prayer is a wonderful tool. Something that, you know, that we understand in an intellectual way. We're at an altar. We can't explain all that at an altar. Hey, listen, drop everything, man. This is, buckle in. This is the ride. But that's an initial understanding. It's an emotional response. And it's a heartfelt prayer. Don't get me wrong. But from there needs to be discipleship. How do I progress? How do I grow? How do I follow? Which leads to the next part of his statement.
Right. So he says, if you want to be my follower. So if we want to follow Christ, what was the first thing he said to do? Turn from your selfish ways. Deny yourself. How many people like that statement? Honestly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can put my hand down because I don't always like that statement. Because I don't want to deny myself. You know, there are times that I want to do my own thing. And you know what? The world right now, that's what the kids are learning, is that they have a right. Everyone has a right. I have my right to do this. I have my right to do that. I have my right. And you know what God says? God says, your right needs to become my right. What you want needs to become what I want for you. I need to put aside my dreams. Now, they may not be bad dreams. They may not be bad goals. But if they're going against what God wants, then I need to decide, am I going to follow Christ and do what he wants? Let me tell you, his way is the absolute best no matter what. So even if it's different than what you expected or you thought, I'll tell you this right now, no matter where Christ leads you or how he leads you, his way is perfect and it's the best because that's what he has for you. So the first thing he says is to deny ourselves, to put aside our goals, our desires, and to give it over to Christ and to let him have his way in our life. Denying ourselves requires us to give up anything that we would want or seek that would hinder us from doing the will of God. This does not mean that if we want something, it's necessarily wrong, but it does mean that if it comes before Christ, or it takes us off the path that he has for us, yes, it is wrong. So being a follower of Christ means I need to, at times, deny myself of my desire, my dream, and say, Christ, I bring it under what you want for me. And I will follow you no matter what it is or where you lead me to. Because there can only be one person on the throne of your heart. You can't put two people on a throne. There's only one person, and it's either you or God. And that's what Jesus says. If you want to be my follower, deny yourself.
Which brings us to the next part of that verse, which I think I'm just going to real quick encapsulate that verse for one more time. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. This last one is kind of like the phrasing that we talked about. I'll give a question again, more feedback. When you hear take up your cross, what does that mean to you? Anybody? Chris? Okay.
And I think I'm picking up the cross, like the way of the world to find balance. But I think that more like a, not necessarily a struggle, more of just finding balance between, you know, your natural state, like your sinful nature, and choosing to follow. That's how I.
Yeah, taking up that cross. Anybody else? You hear the coined phrase, I got to take up my cross. You know, I got my cross to bear. Baggage. Anybody else? Heard something similar? Your sins. Taking up your cross, shouldering your cross, all those references that you just said is a part of what the world hears, you know, because I know a lot of non-Christians that say that. It's my cross to bear, you know. And they talk about an ailment. They talk about a strained relationship, a rough job. They talk about a bunch of varying different things that, you know, but something detrimental, something not good, you know, that affects them. That they say, that's my cross to bear. But that's not exactly what Christ was saying, because think about it in the biblical context of what a cross was back then. The cross was death. The cross wasn't easy. None of it was. It was dying. So that whole process of the cross to them meant exactly what it is. It doesn't mean exactly what we interpret it today, our baggage or our an ailment or some disease or some really hard problem with something in your life that is, you know, true, it affects that, and we understand that. But what if it ends there, it's not correct. The biblical concept of when Jesus was talking, take up your cross and follow me. It's death. It's dying to self. It's gladly, willingly, reverently willing to lay down your life for the gospel, for Christ, for God. Putting it all out there for him. versus putting it all out there for your career, versus putting it all out there for your for money, or even your family. That's not what he's asking you to take up the cross for and follow your career. Take up your cross and follow your family. Doesn't ask that. Take up your cross and follow me. So he says that, and as we think about that, it's a deep desire to walk in Christ's footsteps. Dying to self. Willing to put your life on the line. We sang that song, and it talks about Christ poured out. And Becky, you could probably help me. Christ poured out his blood or on the cross? Or his blood poured out. Thank you. Appreciate it. His blood poured out for you. So his life blood was poured out for us. Have we sucked that life blood up and just put it into some simple terms for people to understand so they could come in and keep coming to these seats and fill these seats up? Or have we said, you know what? He loves you so much. He wants a relationship with you. He was willing to die for you. I was speaking with a guy in work, and he's been very inquisitive of my relationship with Christ and my Christianity. And he knows I'm a born-again Christian. And he kind of keeps like prodding me a little bit. But he has a question too. It's all underlying. It feels like a little Nicodemus-like, you know, kind of coming to you on the sly a little. And I said, Michael, I said, are you willing to accept Christ as your Savior? I've done that. I know he's my Savior. I know he's the Savior, my Savior. And I said, my Savior? My Savior, yeah, all right. Are you willing to believe that he can save you? Not only that he died for you, but he can save you and you can have eternal salvation. Yeah, absolutely. I said, well, are you willing to commit back to him everything he's committed to you? Are you willing to follow him all your days? 100%, no holds barred. And he's like, well, I don't know about that. Chris, that's deep. Oh, yeah, Mike, it's deep. Yeah, it is. And he's like, is that how you live? I'm like, well, I got to be honest with you. I don't always live that way. That's my problem, but I do try. I said, I try to put that as my goal. And he was like, wow. So he couldn't understand that. So it's a symbol of death. Are you willing to die to yourself? Are you willing to daily recognize that, yes, today I need to put all of the things that I have under the blood of Jesus and in the cross's shadow and follow him? Take up your own cross. Die to yourself. All these things were not fun. And he didn't say it was going to be fun. Actually, the opposite. Shouldering your cross, the symbol of death. A complete sacrifice.
I'm just going to kind of bring this in. Yeah.
It feels like it goes back to the same, the first phrase. You know, you're giving up yourself.
Giving of yourself. That's right. Giving all of yourself.
Yes.
Christ didn't ask 50-50. He didn't say, you keep 50% of it and I'll take 50% or 25-75 or whatever. We don't want to try to give to Christ. Christ said it's all or nothing. Just like he gave it all. He gave everything he had when he died on the cross for me and for you. And he says, that's what I want from you. I want your life. I want your life. I have so much to give you. I have so much for you. But I need you to be willing to give me everything. And you know, it's a daily thing. We kind of talked about that. It's daily. You know, Christ understood that. We are human. So he says, daily, take up your cross and follow me. Daily, give myself to God. Say, God, whatever you want of me today, I will follow you. I will do what you're asking me to do today. You know, he never, ever hid the cost. He put it out there. And he told you, this is what it is to follow me. Being a follower of Christ demands a sacrifice that comes from having a relationship. I will sacrifice for my son. I will sacrifice for my daughter. I will sacrifice for my husband because I love them and I have a relationship with them. Christ says, that's what I want from you because you have a relationship with me. I want a sacrifice. Sacrifice of you laying down yourself to follow me and to answer the call that I've put on your heart. This is where Christianity goes beyond that mere prayer that we talked about in the beginning. That initial prayer is exactly where it starts, recognizing our need of a Savior. But if that's where it stays, And if that's the role that we play, then we've lost what it means to follow Christ, to deny ourselves, and to pick up our cross and follow him daily. Why in the natural would we want to do this? And you know what? The verse that goes on right behind that says, Luke 9, 24 and 25, if you hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your whole life for my sake, you will save it. What does it benefit you if you gain the whole world and you are lost or destroyed in the end? Being a Christian is not just a get-out-of-hell card so that we can escape hell. It's a lifestyle change where I can live for Christ every single day of my life. Amen. And yeah, do I get, yeah, I'm not going to spend eternity in hell. I'm going to spend eternity with him. That's awesome. But I also have the opportunity to be used by an awesome God to touch someone else's life, to die to what I want, but to live in him is so much better than anything that I could think is best for myself. So tonight the challenge was, that was kind of on our heart is, don't let yourself get sucked into the fact or into the ideal idea that Christianity is a role that you can play. Christ never called it a role playing. It's not a role that you fill. It's a relationship that you foster every single day with a God who loves you so much. He ended that with two questions that I thought was very interesting that we just kind of want to end with tonight is, are we biblically, personally following Jesus? Eternity is dependent on the way that we answer that question. My challenge to you as we close in prayer and to ourselves is, where is your relationship with Christ? And only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. Is it a role that you play and you do a good job at it? Or is it a relationship that occurs Sunday through Sunday, 4 weeks out of the month, 12 months out of the year? Is it a relationship or is it a role? Where do you find yourself at in that? We're going to close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to really digest these verses, God. Your words specifically spoken by you, Father God, challenging the disciples, those that followed you, to a higher calling, to something more than merely taking steps to walk after you, but truly to engage in what you are doing, having a relationship with you that goes beyond mere surface situations, surface talk, but to have a deep and abiding relationship with you. Father God, we just pray, God, that today, Lord God, as we've heard your word and as we've had the ability to hear it and to digest it, God, that you'll change our hearts, God. Because there's a world out there, God, that is dying. There's a world out there, Lord God, that finds when Christians talk with their mouth and do something different with their actions, that's an unbelieving world. That's what they find unbelievable. Father God, I pray that you'll help us. Help us, Lord God, to, Lord God, show your love, to be a true follower after you, to receive that call and to walk in it. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you just help us again, God, as we just continue to love you and worship you, God, and thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, that we have to gather together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Enjoyed being here tonight.
Thank you.
You close?
No, I'm just turning this off.
Okay.